John, the 13th chapter, says this. It says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Whew, man, I told the first crowd this morning, man, I could stop right there and preach a sermon on that one sentence. The devil had already put something in Judas's heart. How many know that sometimes the devil puts something in our heart? And if you'll recognize it, you have the power to stop it. But here's what I want you to know. Often we allow that thing to stay in our heart and we nurse that thing. And then that thing's born and, woo, it's ugly, baby. Come on now. Let me just say, you don't have to worry or wonder, what's this baby going? We often, our wives get pregnant. We're wondering, what's the baby going to look like? What sex is it going to be? What's it going to look like? All that kind of stuff. You don't have to wonder. It's going to be ugly. The devil put it in your heart. It's going to be ugly. So anyway, so the scripture says in verse 3, Jesus knowing, everybody say knowing. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose up from supper, and he laid aside his outer garment and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Father, today we thank you for your word. Lord, today minister your word to your people today. Father, open our eyes to your word today. Give us great understanding of your treasure word today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated today. Listen, so what we have here is we understand this as Palm Sunday. But what we, if we were to go back and really understand this, the scripture tells us that Jesus was with his disciples and they said, Lord, where would you have that we partake of the Passover? And because it was the time of the feast of the Passover, and Jesus sent a couple of the disciples, actually it says Peter and John, he sent them to prepare the meal. But the scripture says that he told them, go into the town and you're going to see a man, and the man's going to have a bucket of water on his head. Follow him to the house and then tell the master of the house that the Lord has need of a place to celebrate the Passover. And so they did. They saw the man. They followed him to the house. And sure enough, the master of the house gave them a place for them to celebrate the Passover. But then the Lord said to his disciples, so to a couple of them, go into the city and you're going to find there a donkey. And go in and untie that donkey and bring him to me. And they said, well, what do we do if they don't want to let him come with us? And they said, tell him the master has need and that we'll bring it back, in other words, right? And so they go into the town and they find this donkey like Jesus said, and they begin to untie the donkey, and sure enough, they have the conversation and said the master has need of it. And so they bring the donkey, and on the way, they pull that man out. My wife was cleaning some things out and she found my Samsung flip phone this week, you know what I'm saying? So they pulled out their flip phone, back in the day before we had iPhones, right? They pulled out their flip phone and they called Channel 4 and they called Channel 5 and they called Channel 8 and 11 was having the final four, but they called them too. They called all the news stations and let them know what was about to take place. And they hired somebody special to do Jesus' makeup. And when they got back, they took their clothes. Some of them took some of their garments, and they threw it across the back of the donkey. And they put Jesus on the back of the donkey. And as they were coming into the town, man, the town went wild. They had sold tickets, and those that didn't have tickets couldn't get in. No, that didn't happen, right? So here they were, the crowd with a throng. Songs were just going wild, and they were chanting and calling him the king. We know this as the triumphal entry of Jesus, right? We call it Palm Sunday, but the triumphal entry of Jesus. And Luke chapter 19 verse 38 says that while they were on their way to do their interview with TBN, that all of the people there were shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So they were shouting, this is the King that we've been waiting on. This is the King. So now, can you imagine all of his disciples? They've been with him 3 years. They came from nowhere. They were fishermen and an assorted group of men. And here they are. They've been with Jesus all these years, these 3 years, they were on this high, man. Oh my goodness, the one we've been following, he's going to be king and he's my friend, right? And they were on this absolute high as they went into the city. And Luke 22 says this, now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. So to understand this, let's just recall that the Jews have been celebrating Passover since Egypt, right? So for about 1,500 years, these guys, the Jewish people, have been celebrating what we understand as Passover, which is when they were in bondage, when they were in Egypt, when they were in slavery. They cried out to God, the death angel was going to come and pass through Egypt, and the Lord instructed them to slay a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. Whenever the death angel would come through the city on that fateful night, that the death angel would pass over the house where the blood was found. And watch this. And Luke, it's just never occurred to me before. The scripture says, in Luke chapter 22, verse 13, it tells us that Peter and John prepared the Passover. Now, you know, sometimes we over-spiritualize things and sometimes we under-spiritualize things, right? Now, how many know that usually Thanksgiving is kind of a big deal? You know, at our house, usually there's this celebration. All the family comes over. We cook a big meal. We celebrate, we celebrate what happened with our forefathers. And really, we're just there for the food, right? Come on. And so we invite everybody over, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful time, and we have fond memories of Thanksgiving meals. But you know what? It's just really hard to over-spiritualize shopping for Thanksgiving dinner at Walmart. Fighting the throngs of people for that last turkey and cranberry sauce, right? And here's my question to you. Do you really think that when Peter and John went into the city and they went into Walmart, it was pretty crazy? Y'all understand what I'm saying? They had some Walmart people there. You know what I'm saying? What are y'all laughing at? Y'all been recently, right? Anyway, so it was crazy because it was Passover and everybody was trying to get the last lamb. It was Passover and everybody was trying to get the last of the unleavened bread. It was Passover and everybody was trying to get the last of the squeezed grapes and the new wine So whenever Peter and John went into town to prepare for the Passover meal, it didn't seem like any kind of, super spiritual task to fight all the crowds and go. But my question to you is, did they really realize what they were doing when they bought this lamb? Did they really realize when they bought this unleavened bread and when they bought these crushed grapes and juice, did they really realize when they bought that new wine what they were doing? Did they really realize whenever they went back to that room, that borrowed room, and they slew the lamb, did they really realize what was taking place on that day? Luke 22. Look at this. Luke 22, verse 14 and 15 says this. It says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." What? Jesus, now they've been celebrating this for 1,500 years. And the disciples didn't really have a good grasp of things yet. But we see that Jesus, as he's there, the scripture says I've been waiting for this Passover to be able to celebrate this Passover with you. See, we understand, and in a few moments we're going to receive communion together, and we understand that today communion represents that Passover, Last Supper, if you will, that they were celebrating that day. And listen, in John, it's not recorded in the other Gospels. When we see the Last Supper, when we see the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when we see that Palm Sunday celebration, if you will, we don't see this portion of the scripture recorded or this portion of the story recorded in other Gospels, but we see something different that takes place that is recorded in John. And the scripture says, everybody say, he knew. He knew. Here we find that Jesus, he's there, he's celebrating, they're eating the lamb, and the scripture says that he knew three times. He knew that all things had been committed into his hands by the Father. He knew that his time was at hand, for he that had come from the Father to go back to the Father. And it said the last thing, it said he knew who it was that was going to betray him. All of those things are so, so important when I look at this story and I see something recorded that's not recorded in any of the other gospels. Is they are there, they are eating supper, so it records, and Jesus gets up from the table and he goes over and he kneels down and begins to wash funky feet. I think that's probably what I should have named or titled this message, is Funky Feet, right? And so we find that Jesus kneels down. Now watch. Watch, listen to this. We find the King of Glory. He that came into the poverty of the world from the glory of God. He that came from God. He knew that all things now belong to him. All things had been given into his hands. And it is at this moment, the scripture records that he knew, and he takes off his garment, wraps himself in a towel, and kneels down to wash funky feet. When he knew all things were given to him. And listen, the second thing is that he knew that his time was at hand, and now he takes off his garment when he could be having a pity party and a woe is me, and you ought to be washing my feet, and he takes off his garment at this moment, knowing that his time to suffer is at hand, and he kneels down to wash their feet. But that's not all. The third thing that he knew was that he knew who was going to betray him, and he kneeled down and washed their feet anyway. So at the process, if you just kind of think through it with me, he kneels down and he washes John's feet. John's his best friend. He knows that John's going to be the one that he gives his mother to and says, take her home and take care of my mom when I'm gone, right? So he kneels down and he washes John's feet. And man, that was probably a love fest, right? And Thomas comes. Oh, doubting Thomas, right? Thomas comes and Jesus still washes his feet. Wow. Then he gets to Judas and he washes the one's feet who will betray him. Now, listen, I feel like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge this week that there's somebody in this house that you are struggling to forgive someone. You have been wounded, that you have been hurt, that you have been bruised, and you're struggling. You want to, but you're struggling to forgive. And today I believe that God is going to help you release that thing today. Jesus kneels down and he washes Judas's feet, even though it'll be Judas, he knows that it'll be Judas that betrays him. And then finally we see Jesus comes over to Peter, and he begins to wash, Peter tries to wash Peter's feet, knowing that Peter is going to be cussing the maid here in just a few days as he denies him three times. That's not a very spiritual presentation of the gospel, is it? He knows what Peter's going to be doing in the next few days, and yet he comes to Peter and he kneels down to wash his feet, and Peter says to him, you shall never, John 13, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Ooh, ooh, wait a minute. What? Oh, Jesus. You know, Peter's one that speaks before he thinks, right? Oh, Jesus. Give me a bath in, right? Don't just stop with my feet. Wash my hands and my head also, Lord. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is, what's the word? The one who is bathed doesn't need to take another bath, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, as he was talking about Judas. See, we've been talking a lot over the last few weeks. We've been talking about the fear and the awe of God. And we've been talking about the real knowledge of God is the fear of the Lord. And the real knowledge of God is to hate sin, right? And we've been talking about sin, and sometimes we talked about David and the ark and the oxen, and whenever they brought the ark in this time, on the second time they brought the ark in, they took the oxen and they didn't put it back in the barn, but they took the oxen and they slew the oxen, right? So they slew that thing that had sidetracked them. And so we've talked a lot about sin and taking care of sin and hating sin and despising sin. But I had someone come to me recently, and they looked at me and they said, listen, I did this awful thing. I did this terrible terrible thing, and I need to know, can I really be forgiven? I'm in the Bible all the time. I'm in the Bible daily, and can I go to heaven? And man, this had been in my spirit. This had been in my heart, so I want you to get this. This passage of Scripture describes two kinds of washing. Two kinds of washing. John chapter 13 verse 10 says, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. What is he talking about? He that is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but he that is bathed is completely clean. Now, today, if you're a Beaver and you're following along in the notes, I'm going to drive you crazy. We're going to completely skip over number one, and maybe I'll revisit that next week, but we're just going to talk about number two and number three. I'm just now getting to the message, y'all. But the question is this: what is the cure for sin? Remember, John said, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. The King James Version says, there is no remission for sin. The word remission there in the Greek means to the cancellation of debt, the cancellation of a charge, the cancellation of a penalty. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no cancellation of our debt. Listen, somebody this week sent me a video, an old video. It was a black and white video. And a man was preaching to a large crowd. And he's standing there and he said, you know, the man that hung on the cross with Jesus really messed up the angel's theology. He's hanging on the cross one minute, and the next minute he's at the pearly gates, and the angels are going, what are you doing here? You were just on the cross cussing Jesus, right? We got a lot of cussing going on. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, it was just on the cross, and they were having this discussion, but all of a sudden he has this conversation with Jesus, and the angel is there, and he's confused when he's there to greet this man at the pearly gates, and he said, he's scratching his head, and he's looking at the man, and he said, what church did you go to? Never been to church. When did you say the sinner's prayer? Never said the sinner's prayer. But you were baptized in the River Jordan, right? Nope, never been water baptized. Come on now. He says, hang on just a minute, I need to go get my supervisor. He can't figure out what the man is doing there. And the supervisor angel comes back and must have looked at him and said, let's talk about righteousness. You understand the term righteousness, right? Never heard of it before. Well, you understand the doctrine of justification, right? Nope. What are you doing here? All I know is that the man on the cross said I could come. There's an old song. It said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount that I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? Listen, I want you to understand that there's no amount of penance that you can do. There's not enough Hail Marys that you can say from now to eternity to make it into heaven. There's not enough good deeds that you can do to get into heaven. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can I be forgiven? Not by works, not by good deeds, not by good intentions. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is nothing else. Hebrews says this, man. It says it well. The writer of Hebrews 10, verse 14, says, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time. Wait. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Peter, he that has had a bath doesn't need a bath again. He that has been washed is completely clean, because for by a single offering he has. It wasn't what you have or I have or what we will ever do, but by a single offering he has perfected you and I for all times, those that are being sanctified. Woo! And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, let's go to the next slide. This is the covenant. Everybody say this. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And the next screen says this in verse 17. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. He has perfected by one sacrifice for all time, those that have come to him and been washed. And listen, what I know is that the enemy comes against us time after time after time after time with all of our past, with all of our shortcomings, with all of our failures. Time after time, he brings up what we didn't do or what we did do. But what I know is that he is a liar, and what he is trying to do is to diminish the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the blood has washed us and perfected us for all time, that he that has been washed is completely clean. Can I go to heaven? Can I be forgiven? And in our lack of understanding, we keep thinking that we need another washing in the blood. Oh, come on now. He that's had a bath doesn't need a bath again. Come on now. He that has been washed is completely clean. And the enemy wants to keep tormenting us and diminishing the power of the blood. But friend, you do not need another bath in the blood. Because there was one time he went to, he's not going back to the cross again. He's not going to shed any blood again. He's already shed all the blood he's going to shed. Next time he comes back, he ain't coming as a lamb. Come on now. He's already shed all the blood he's going to shed, and you don't need to be washed in the blood again. Now watch this. Peter said, oh, Jesus, you gonna wash my feet? Oh, if I don't wash you, he didn't say if I don't wash your feet. He said, if I don't wash you, you have no share in me, right? Those that have been washed are completely clean and they don't need another bath. They only need their feet washed. Huh? See, I said we were going to talk about two kinds of washing. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us a beautiful story. Paul is writing and he's talking about the husband and the wife, or so they think. The scripture goes like this. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present to the church, or present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So the second part of that is, okay, what is the cure for sin? It's the being washed in the blood, right? Being marked by the blood. But the second question is, but Pastor, what about my daily humanity? I still struggle. You know what? Every person on planet Earth is going to struggle in this body. Temptation, weaknesses, failures, we're still in this body, right? We still have this humanity. Jesus kneels before the one that's about to betray him. The one that's about to cuss the little maid out. And he said, if you've had a bath, you don't need another bath. But your feet's still gonna get dirty. Your feet still gonna get dirty. You're in this world, but not of this world. You know, I'd venture to say that you got up this morning, or maybe late last night, you went in and you took a shower, you took a bath, and you got cleaned up. Otherwise, with our humanity, stink comes along with the deal. And he said, you're still going to struggle sometimes with anger. And I know you're going to betray me, but I'm going to wash your feet anyway with my word. You only need washing with the blood once, and I'm going to perfect you for all time because you're my bride now. But if you'll submit to a daily washing, when the attitude comes up, when the struggle comes up, when the temptation comes up, I know you're going to doubt me, but I'm still going to wash your feet. I know you're going to betray me, but I'm still going to wash your feet. See, there's two kinds of washing. When we're washed with the blood, we're holy. His, completely his, completely perfected for all time. His. Not going back and forth. But there's a daily washing of the water of the word as we renew our mind in him every day, and we let his word deal with our humanity as we grow and mature and all come to the unity of the faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus gets up, puts his robe back on, goes back to the table, and he sits down. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he says, says, this is my body. It's broken for you. Every time you do this, remember. Every time you do this, remember. And then he took the cup and he held it and he said, this is the cup, represents my blood, and it represents the new covenant that I'm going to make with you. So if there's a new covenant, that meant there was an old covenant. The old covenant meant they had to come every single year. They had to be reminded of their sin every single year. They had to keep going back and keep going back. And in their own effort, they had to slay a lamb and bring the lamb and sacrifice the lamb. And he said, oh, but there's a new covenant that I'm making with you. The blood of bulls and goats can't change your consciousness. But I'm going to make a new covenant with you, and I'm gonna wash you completely clean and perfect you for all time. I'm the Passover lamb. Wow. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And in just a moment, we're gonna come around the front of this building and we're gonna receive communion together. But today, listen, in this house, the scripture says it's good for us to examine ourselves, right? This is a serious thing when we receive communion and we remember him. And in a moment, we're going to come, all of us around these altars, and we're going to examine ourselves and let the Holy Spirit shed the light on us. If you haven't received your communion elements, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll have someone bring one of the communion elements to you this morning. Or they're standing at the back of the building if you need. We have a couple up here on the front row. Listen. For just a moment, I want every head bowed, every eye closed in the house. Today, you know what? Maybe the one and you can't forgive yourself. Maybe you're having the struggle. You know what you did. Everybody else knows what you did. The devil knows what you did. And the enemy keeps bringing it up and bringing it up and diminishing the power of the blood. Today, if you would say, Pastor, the enemy won't let me alone. And today I realize that God no longer holds this thing against me. That he's made me perfect with his blood, not my actions. And I need him to help me because I need to forgive myself. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're struggling with that tormenting thoughts, I want you right now, right where you are, with no one looking around, just say, I'm the one that needs to forgive myself. I'm the one that's struggling. I'm the one that's dealing. Yes, thank you. Slip it up. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Slip it up this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you're in the house this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I'm the one that needs to forgive somebody else. I'm the one that it just hurts so deeply. I feel so broken. I've tried, I just can't seem to get past it. But if Jesus could get on his knees and wash Judas's feet, Peter's feet, Thomas's feet, today I need his help. Because I'm really struggling. I feel so broken. If that's you this morning, right where you are, no one looking around, I need the Lord to help me forgive this person. Would you slip it up? Yes, 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 yes. I'm the one. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. And last but not least, if you're in the house today, and you'd say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. If he did that for me, today I know I'm a sinner. Today I know I need forgiveness. I know I can't fix myself. Today I want receive Christ as my Savior today. I want to pray with you. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up and right back down as quickly as you can. Just say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. Would you slip it up? Don't wait this morning. Don't wait. God bless you. Thank you so much. Slip it up. Anyone else today? Is there anyone else in the house today? Slip it up. Okay, church, look at me. I'm going to invite you all over this building. I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat and come and find a place to pray around the front of this building. And let's just come and get in. Bring your communion elements. We're going to receive communion together in just a moment. But would you come and find a place to get along with the Lord Jesus this morning? Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's just find a place all over the building to get along with him today.
That Jesus shared for me.
Examine your heart this morning.
It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from death.
Today together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We know that we have sinned, and we know that Jesus took our place. He took our punishment. We deserved it, and he took it, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be your children, so that our names could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we too could be raised from the dead again. And today we are forgiven.